Hi, I'm Sarah. I'm compulsive overeater, bulimic, and over-exerciser. Really, really grateful to be able to do this chair today. It is actually my second chair, so please bear with me. And yeah, I've just kind of gone and done a serenity prayer just to kind of calm my nerves and everything. But fundamentally, I was doing my readers this morning, and it just came back to the whole thing of in the big book how it says, you know, this whole fellowship and recovery started when one, you know, alcoholic sat down with another alcoholic and shared their story. So I realised, you know, how important chairs are, and I really appreciate when other people do chairs. I have two photos to pass around just to for you to kind of see what I was like. Though these aren't at my biggest because I refuse to let anybody take a picture of me like that. So just to kind of qualify, I have been abstinent for 9 months and 1 day, which I'm very, very grateful for. I started 3 years ago coming to OA, and at that point I was just shy of like 14 stone, and I'm grateful with physical abstinence of this programme that I'm now a healthy body weight of 9 stone. My journey kind of began like the big book says that some people are born with the disease, and some people it's a habit that they kind of manifest. I have come to understand that I think I was born with it. When I was born, I was a very sick baby. Ironically, my body rejected food, and for ages they had to kind of work out how to get me to be able to eat. And so I always remember having a very different relationship to food to other people in my family. When I was younger, very young, I would refuse to eat breakfast and lunch and then eat dinners. And as a five-year-old, I remember looking at my dad's plate, who obviously is a grown man, and thinking, I want the same portion as him. And would always, from a young age, be sneaking, you know, sweet things out of the cupboards, hiding the wrappers. And it then became noticeable that it wasn't quite right when I used to take an empty lunchbox into school just to make it look like I was taking a luncheon, but I told my mum not to put anything in it, and teachers ended up querying. They thought that I was being starved, and I wasn't at all. It was just the way that that I was, and I just accepted that. And then as I got older, you know, my relationship with food kind of changed. I went from not eating much to just wanting to eat lots, and just started to kind of have what I realised was like real binges. And with that, and when feelings got really tough, I always felt like being sick was like a relief. And my first like proper binge and being sick that I distinctly remember was when I was 10. And the reason I remember it was because it was at my poor grandma's 60th birthday party, of which I spent the whole time being sick in the toilets, and everybody thought I was ill. And it was because the day before I'd been with my grandparents, and I associated my grandparents as this the place I could go and eat whatever I wanted. And I had that day before eaten whatever I wanted. So my relationship with food just was never right, but nobody kind of in my family ever said, they just always accepted it. And then when I was in my teenage years, becoming, you know, aware of my body and everything, I realised that I could only cope with all my feelings of not liking myself, not feeling like I fitted in or anything, by eating. And I used to secretly eat on the way to school and on the way home. But obviously, when you early teenagers, all of a sudden, where before I had been lucky in the sense that the weight hadn't gone on, all of a sudden the weight started to come on. And so that was when I kind of really picked up exercising. And my family were very health conscious and sporty. And so I did lots of exercise, lots of walking, and then it kind of managed to have this balance of being able to eat whatever I wanted, but still kind of stay looking normal that nobody ever kind of knew. But that kind of all changed when I got into like my late teenage years, I became really severely like depressed, and I used food as a real crutch. I ended up, I went to university and I lasted 2 months at university. I didn't know how to, I didn't know how to be away from home. I thought I knew everything in life, but I didn't know how to, and I didn't feel like I fitted in with anybody. And those 2 months were just hell on earth for me, because basically it involved me hiding myself away in my room, binging loads, making myself sick, and then going to the gym for like 3 hours, just so that it was a different place to being in the room, but I didn't have to talk to anyone. And that went on for 2 months until I gave up, and my parents were like, you can't. They didn't know what I'd been doing, but they just knew that I was terribly unhappy. So I went back home, and I ended up going into hospital treatment and so forth. And funnily enough, no matter how long I was as an inpatient, no doctors ever talked about my eating behaviour. So I just thought that this is something that I had to handle on my own. And so I did. So then in my early 20s, it was that real thing of being depressed. I lived on my own, so that was like this whole big freedom of I could all of a sudden eat whatever I wanted, but not have to hide, because there was no one to hide it from. So my binging took on a whole new level of, I remember going to supermarkets and filling the trolley with all of this stuff, and always having this backstory that if I was gonna meet, you know, if I was gonna bump into anyone, I was gonna say to them, oh, I'm buying this for so-and-so, or I'm having a gathering. And I remember going to drive-thrus or phoning up takeaways and pretending I was like buying for about a party of 12, and it wasn't, it was just for myself. And by that point, I'd really kind of got this whole self-loathing that I'd begun to not even care about what I looked like anymore, and I gave up the exercise, and consequently the weight went on, even with trying to, you know, being sick periodically, I just got larger and larger. And I was just deeply, deeply unhappy. And then basically in 2014, my granddad passed away, and I was at my heaviest. And I just remember feeling so ashamed and embarrassed and just deeply saddened that his last image of me was this person that I detested. I was like, right, I'm going to do something about it. And he'd always kind of inspired me. He'd always been a fit, athletic person. So I was like, right, I'm going to start doing a form of exercise. So I decided that I was going to do running, having never properly like run apart from on a treadmill before. To start off with, it was the most humiliating experience, being that fat person running down the road. And I remember, to start off with, I used to do it at night time in the dark, because I did not want anybody to see me. Just didn't like it at all. But I was like, no, I'm going to do something. And in correspondence with that, I decided to come to my first OA meeting. And I say that I decided. I was just at the point where I didn't know what else to do. I'd done the whole, tried all different diets, some of which had been a success. When my sister had got married a couple of years previously, I'd done a liquid diet, had lost lots of weight. Everybody thought I looked great, but I'd practically starved myself. And as soon as she'd had her wedding day, that was it, back on the food. So I knew that for me, diets were not the answer at all. My friend at the time was in another fellowship, and he said to me, I think you should go to OA. And I was absolutely terrified, because I had all these like images in my head of what on earth it was going to be like. And he took me to my first meeting, and I remember sitting in that meeting just completely identifying with everything everyone was saying, and just being like, wow, okay, you know, maybe all that's kind of been going on in my head, I'm not the only person. However, I was really, really naive, and I look back and just think, oh, it's really stupid, because what I decided is that I'd come for the physical side. So I was like, right, I'm going to start doing 3 meals a day, but I don't need to work the program and I don't need to really get a sponsor, and I can do this. So that's what I did. For a year I attended meetings each week, but at one point I got a sponsor, but I did step one with them, but I wasn't committed whatsoever. And then I got this whole thing of, I've got it made, I've lost weight, I've got these three meals, I'd given up my trigger foods, and for me the one, you know, the biggest one was the sugar, and I was like, look, you know, and people were saying to me how amazing you look. So I decided to give up going to that meeting. And for almost a year I could say that I was still abstinent to a degree, like my portions were a lot bigger, and I'd sometimes eat snacks in between, but for me I was like, I'm still abstinent because I don't pick up the sugar anymore. That all changed last August, where I think lots of things were happening, but then the catalyst was that I was at my sister's 30th birthday party, and obviously all the food around, and I had at the time a very difficult relationship with my sister, and I remember feeling just so rubbish after. And the next day I started just like picking up food that I wouldn't normally have eaten, like crisps and things. For me, and crisps and stuff was another compulsive thing. So this went on for a couple of days until I picked up the sugar, and then that was it for me. I was in a proper relapse. Every single day was me waking up in the morning, thinking about food, getting food, and then slowly over time, I started introducing being sick again, and I started going to the gym like every single night, because I was like, I need to combat all this new food that I'm starting to eat. And I was really, really deeply unhappy. This went on for absolutely ages, until I'm so grateful that April this year, I came to the meetings and I chose to actually work the steps, and I got a sponsor, and that changed my life forever. I have been doing work in the steps for 9 months and one day. I'm so grateful to everything that my sponsor and all the fellows, kind of the advice they give me, and working the suggestions, and just keeping it in the day, and knowing that this is a really simple program. And I'm so grateful that now I have just, you know, okay, I've got the physical abstinence, which I'm so grateful for, but for me the emotional and spiritual is so, so important. They call it the three-legged stool, and for me it's so, so important, because I feel like I live a life now, whereas before I didn't live a life whatsoever. And you know, there's one thing I wanted to really share. You know, for me, it's all about, this journey is about learning to love ourselves again and have self-compassion. And I started to learn how to do that by the fact that when I walked in the rooms, people accepted me and loved me for who I was right there and then, without knowing. And I am so grateful for that. Sorry, I just like it. Near the end of my mind is just whirling. I just can't get over how amazing this program is, and how the solution is in the big book and in the steps. And you know, for any newcomers in the room, I the best thing that people ever said to me was just keep coming back, and it worked. You know, that classic thing, it works if you work it, because like I say, my life is completely different, and it's amazing that each day I can turn to my higher power and know that, as much as sometimes I begrudge it, I'm not in control anymore. My higher power is in charge, and you know, it was until I surrendered to my higher power that, you know, I became happy. I wasn't happy before at all, and it's nice now that I feel part of. And that horrible hole, that pit in my stomach that I always had, I used to say to people, I feel like I've got a black hole in my stomach, and that was something that I had to always fill with food. But what it was that I was lonely, and I was, you know, and so now being part of something, I'm not isolated anymore. And by not being isolated, I'm not letting the disease have the better of me. And the tools of recovery are just completely invaluable. I don't know how much time I've got left, but I'm just going to kind of end it there and just say thank you so much for listening. And yeah, I'm so grateful everybody's here. Thank you.
Thank you so much.